Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Voice of Truth is very pleased to bring you another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. We encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. Again, that email address is creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice is that of Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14-plus years on the road full-time, traveling with his wife Dana, and now with their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. As mentioned, this is a continuation of a prior portion of the series, so we'll be picking up with Steve in mid-sentence, so to speak, but you'll quickly catch on to what is being said. Let's roll the tape.
I said, well, what's wrong? What's your big deal? She said, well, you're lying to these people. You should be ashamed of yourself. And she just chewing on me. And I said, well, what am I lying about? She said, everything. I said, oh, come on. That's a little far-fetched. I said, well, give me one example and let's deal with it. And then we'll go to another one. So she said, well, stalactites and stalagmites, you're telling people they grow quickly and everybody knows they take millions of years to form. I said, well, why do you think they take millions of years to form? She said, I don't think it, I know it. I said, okay, why do you know they take millions of years to form? She said, my professor told me so. I said, okay. But anyway, now I know what I'm working with at least. So, and we went to the pastor's office and we photocopied some things and given it to her. And I said, listen, I want you to go back and take this stuff to your professor. But I don't want you to come back and tell me what he said. I'd like for you to tell him to come back and tell me what he says. You'd like to talk to him about it. So she's taking this stuff out of my hand, just jerking it out of my hand, you know, grumbling and mumbling, fussing at me and everything. And then I hand her this one article and she just melts. And I looked at her and I said, whoa, you know, her whole countenance, everything just changed, you know. I said, what happened? You okay? She said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, no, you're not fine. You're either not fine now or you weren't fine a couple of minutes ago. You know, what's going on, you know? And she said, it's nothing. I said, no, what is it? Tell me. She said, well, you see this article right here? I'd hand her to this paper, you know. And I said, yeah, that's a good article. I really want to know what your professor says about that one. She said, I didn't always live here in Kansas. She said, I used to live in Arizona. This guy was my high school teacher, science teacher. She said, I always believed him too, but I don't know what to think anymore. I gave her this article, folks. They were interviewing Jerry Trout. He's a cave specialist, Arizona Forest Service. He's a high school science teacher, happened to be her teacher. He's an evolutionist. He's a geologist. Listen to this quote of his. From 1924 to 1988, there was a visitor sign above the entrance to Carlsbad Caverns that said Carlsbad was at least 260 million years old. In 1988, the sign was changed to read 7 to 10 million years old. Then for a little while, the sign read 2 million years old. Now the sign is gone. Now, folks, let me ask you. How do you take 250 million years and simply eliminate them with a paintbrush? I mean, how do you do that? There's only one way you can do that. Let me give you an example of something. Paul likes to build these Kinex toys. Grandma gets him Kinex for his birthday or whatever. He builds this stuff, definitely not motorhome stuff. There's this helicopter he's got, and the rotor blade, main rotor blade on the top spins, got a little motor in there, wheels retracted, everything. It's a pretty cool little Kinex toy. Now here's the thing, if your son comes over to our house and plays with Paul and his toys, it would be pretty upsetting to Paul if your son was to go up to Paul's helicopter here and just take it apart. Paul's liable to get upset about that. Why? Because that's not your son's toy. He didn't have the authority to just come up and start messing with it, changing it, without permission at least. Now Paul can go up to his own Kinex helicopter toy that he built and he can He can change it all he wants to. That's fine. Why? Because he's the creator of that thing. Folks, he's the one that built that thing. He therefore has the authority and the permission to modify it, to change it, to destroy it if he wants to. It's his deal. He can do whatever he wants to with it. Folks, have you ever wondered, how can these textbooks, how can this, like this science, how do you take 250 million years and simply eliminate them, just change it with a paintbrush? The only way you can do that is you're the creator of the idea in the first place. It's just man's idea, all these time frames and all this stuff, and they're all in it together. It's just man's ideas. Take a little here, take a little there. Now, wait a second, though. Thy word is truth, and it's forever settled in heaven. We don't have the authority to just start changing and manipulating it. It's already settled, you see. Right. Folks, it becomes a very important issue, and we need to understand, thy word is truth, it stands as is. Man's ideas are ever changing, they're constantly changing, coming up with new ones and changing old ones and all that kind of stuff. How can that be? They're just ideas, concepts, even though it's taught as a fact, and it's just amazing. You can go out to Carlsbad today, there's not a single sign left that has any time on it at all. They know full well that those things grow rapidly. Same with all kinds of different bridges and buildings and overpasses and all kinds of different places all across this country, all across this planet that have these things. We were doing a seminar in Pennsylvania, and this dentist is in the audience, and he says, I've got those things growing in my garage. And he says, come on over, and you can break some off. They're down in one of these trays. I can't see what's in them from here, but anyway, we broke some of these things off. Some 14, 16 inch long ones in his garage. All kinds of different forts, man-made forts up in Maine have these things. Down at Houston Zoo, the window frames have stalactites and stalagmites growing in them. There was a bat entombed in one in 1956 in Carlsbad before it could ever rot. This bat was entombed in this thing. They grow rapidly is the point. We were at a Glacier National Park, man-made tunnels drilled through to run the cars through, let the highway go through, and the whole insides of these things full of these flowstone formations. They're all over. We were out at Thermopolis, Wyoming. A one-inch water pipe was left running for 100 years. Here's the huge flowstone formation that was formed in just 100 years. Folks, they grow rapidly is the point. We were in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has these bike trails and all these tunnels that go through, and some of these tunnels are over a mile long. Well, folks, all throughout these man-made tunnels, the whole inside's full of these flowstone formations. They grow rapidly. We were at Cascade Caverns outside of San Antonio, on the backside of the bottom of the brochure where they advertise, it says a million years in the making. And as we're going through this cavern, all the fuse boxes and electric boxes and switches and wiring and everything, totally entombed in this stuff. Folks, they grow rapidly is the point. How about the Mississippi River? The Mississippi puts water down the Gulf of Mexico with the New Orleans Delta. There are 15,000 navigable miles of waterways that feed the Mississippi. There's a lot of water that goes down through there. Well, along with all that water, it puts 80,000 tons of mud per hour in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, folks, there's a lot of mud that goes into that place. There's a lot that goes in. Now, they know how big that delta is. They know how much mud is in there. They know the flow rate it's entering. They can put those numbers on a calculator and find out that that delta is about 4,400 years old. And that's it. Now, folks, I got a theory on that. You see, I simply believe the Bible. You know, around 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth. 4,400 years ago, really big flood. So to find that it did some damage and left some evidence behind about 4,400 years ago, fits fine for me. Folks, do you realize if you believe the Bible straightforward, and you believe the evidence straightforward, it confirms all the time. We don't have to make up anything. We don't have to manipulate any data. It fits. How about the bristlecone pines? These bristlecone pines are really quite astounding. They're amazing trees. But the interesting thing about these bristlecone pines, the textbooks say that they're the oldest living plants in the world. How old are the oldest living plants? Well, they're about 4,300 years old. Is that all? You know, it makes perfect sense to me. If this place has been around for billions of years, there ought to be something older than the Bible says the age of the flood was. But if the Bible's true, and it is, there was a worldwide flood that destroyed everything, then that's exactly what the evidence ought to show. There's nothing older than that point. And that's exactly what the evidence does show. We were out at this, look at this, if you could find Ripley's Believe It or Not book, it's in there. But it's the oldest, or the tallest one-room house in the world. The circumference of this tree is 101 and a half feet, a 250-foot tall tree that's hollowed out, and there's a one-room house in it. And so here's Dan and Paul standing in this thing. It's really quite amazing. But how old is this oldest living, tallest living one-room house in the world? It's about 4,000 years old. Folks, is it not amazing that there's nothing older than what the Bible says the flood was? There can't be anything older than that because that's when everything was wiped out. Folks, we've got the evidence on our side. Good scientific evidence is on our side, and you can't get around it. Hey, how about this? Oil is under the Earth's crust, frequently under pressure, sometimes as much as 20,000 PSI. Now, that's a lot of pressure. Well, this picture right here is in one of these trays down here. It's a little bottle here, and my wife's stepdad is a geophysicist down in Houston, Texas. Been looking for oil for a living for 65 years. He's pretty good at it. But in fact, he's the guy that found the largest field Texaco has ever owned at their disposal. He's the guy that found it for him. But this is some of the first little bits of sample of his first find that he ever had in his life. So it's just kind of a neat little family keepsake memento kind of thing. But he's a staunch evolutionist. He's a rascal. But it's funny because you ask these people, what is this stuff that we call oil? What is this? They'll say, well, it's fossil fuels. Okay, fossil fuels. I've heard of that before. What is a fossil fuel? They'll eventually tell you, well, it's a dinosaur. Dinosaurs. Wait a minute, the oil we have, the fossil fuel we is from a dinosaur? What happened to them? Well, you see, the dinosaurs lived and they died and they got buried and they got squished. Now they're oil. Okay, the oil we have today is from a squished dinosaur. Yep, you got it. Well, now I got a question about that. You see, this stuff is under pressure, sometimes as much as 20,000 PSI. Now that's a lot of pressure. How's that possible? Funny thing, because all of these even staunch evolutionists all agree that the Earth can only maintain that pressure for about 5,000 years. After that, it would crack, there'd be no pressure left. Well, I've got a question. Why is it still under pressure then? If it can only last for 5,000 years, it's from dinosaurs that died 65 million years ago, how can it still be under pressure? They'll say, well, don't you see this oil is slowly seeping into these high pressure zones? Now, wait a minute, something is gonna seep into a high pressure zone? When we get done here, you can take your pocket knife. Now go to your own car. Don't use anybody else's, okay? But poke a hole in the tire. It won't get bigger. When you breach that high pressure zone, it doesn't woof in all the atmosphere and swell the tire up real big. Comes gushing out, doesn't it? By the way, we're in Ottawa, Michigan, and a couple times, this guy did it. It's like, no, it's just a joke, man. Don't really do it, okay? It's a joke. This guy right here, his name is Darwin. Darwin came out to our seminar. That was pretty cool. But anyway, some of you have oil wells, maybe, or you work for a company that provides parts for them. Or you've just seen documentaries of some kind. They drill down, they finally tap into this high pressure zone pocket of this stuff, right? Now, as soon as they breach that high pressure zone, does it turn around and take all the people, animals, trees, and woof them down in the hole? No. It comes gushing out. Folks, I got a theory on why we have oil, where it came from. It's all right there in the Bible. See, around 6,000 years ago, God created the heaven and the earth. 4,400 years ago, big flood, buried everything. All the plants, animals, people, everything that didn't get on the ark were buried under thousands of layers of sediment. And the Bible says during that time, the mountains arose, the valleys sunk down, squished them into oil. Oh, it's fossil fuels, okay, but it's only been about 4,400 years. Folks, if this stuff can stay under pressure for 5,000 years, and it only happened about 4,400 years ago, sounds fine for me. I don't have to make up anything to make it fit. It naturally fits anyhow. It has to naturally fit because thy word is truth. Whatever God said, the evidence will confirm. But you know, if you're going to take a stand for what God says, you are going to cause trouble with people. The Lord himself says, suppose ye that have come to give peace on earth? With a question, I tell you nay, but rather division. Folks, if you're going to take a stand for anything that God says, you are going to cause division. And you can't get around it. The Lord calls his inner circle together. And he says, hang on, guys. Buckle your seatbelts, man. They're going to hate you out there. They hated me first. Hey, folks. The Bible says all them that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to receive persecution. And sometimes people think, well, things are going along pretty well. They don't really have any persecution. Why not? The Bible's not wrong, so something else must be wrong. Maybe we're not being quite as Christ-like as we ought to be. Maybe we ought to, you know what, folks? If you step up to the plate, you start taking a stand for something God stands for, you're going to cause division amongst people. That is all there is to it. Now, I'm not saying we should be rude and mean, you know, we should be as kind and courteous as we can, but the facts are still the same. You're going to take a stand for what God says, people aren't going to like that. Men love darkness rather than light. So it just becomes important. And on this issue, people say all the time, well, it's okay to teach evolution. I mean, after all, it is just a theory. Well, folks, it's not even a theory. You know, in order to have a theory, you have to have many related hypotheses that have been confirmed and verified. It's not even a hypothesis. But let me ask you a question. Why teach a theory when you have the truth. Amen. Folks, you realize we're going to stand before God and give an account what it is we did? That's kind of chilling. If we intentionally go and tell our kids something or put them in an environment where it's telling them something that's contrary to the truth, and it doesn't matter whether it's a school system or anything else. It could be friends. It doesn't matter what the issue is. The word is truth. What do we need to take a stand. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If somebody doesn't have a fear of the Lord, they don't even have the beginning of knowledge, much less anything else that follows. Judges 2:10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. You know what's going on in this country, folks? This verse is being played out right before our very eyes. Right. We are raising yet another generation that knows not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for America. This is being played out in our very world today, in our lifetime. And the kids today, oh, they're the leaders and educators tomorrow. Does the worldview matter? You better believe it, it matters. It matters in a big way. A lot of times people tell me, my daughter, my son has a good Christian as a teacher. Well, that may be true. Probably not, but it may be true. But do you realize that child, number one, they're only one heart attack away from disaster. What if that good godly teacher or president, a principal or whatever, dies tonight? That person's going to be replaced by somebody else tomorrow. What if they have a diametrically opposed worldview? Do you realize that can change just that quick? And even if a child has a good Christian teacher, that may be, but they're rubbing shoulders with folks in the lunchroom. They're rubbing shoulders with folks at the lockers, out there in PE and out there and all that kind of, folks, what kind of influence is happening to our children, to our kids? Folks, it becomes a very vital issue. Talk about the ways of the Lord. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk to them. When you sit in the house, walking by the way, lying down, rising up. We better get involved in our kids' lives. Well, we barely still can. I was on Vicki Brady's Homeschooling Live radio show a couple times, and I remember the first time. I'll never forget this. The husband, Terry Brady, he's introducing me as the guest, and the intro music is playing and everything, what we're going to talk about. Now, the radio show is Homeschooling Live, so you get an idea of where they're coming from. But I'll never forget this. This guy said, all parents homeschool. The antenna goes up. I'm thinking, oh, that's good. I'd never heard anybody say that before. I knew exactly where he was going, though. And then finally, he followed it up. He says, some parents do it 100%. Some parents do it 80%. Some parents do it 60%. Bottom line, all parents homeschool. Our kids are learning by what it is they're watching. They're absorbing, man, they are sponges for information. You ever wonder why, you know, it's like, where'd you get that from? You? Whoa. Okay. Folks, they're watching. Folks, the worldviews, there are two worldviews. There's a man-centered worldview that says, hey, man, you're here by accident. Have a blast. Party. There's another God-centered worldview that says, no, see, there's a creator that made this place. We're accountable. Those two worldviews are competing for the souls of the people on this planet. And folks, it does become a very, very, very important issue. Even when they first started coming up with the ideas of evolution, even still today, they have to have a huge storehouse with pencils with erasers. They change their mind all the time. Concepts change. But the Bible's written in indelible ink, inspired by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't change. See, folks, we've been changing the wrong book for far too long. People have been believing the wrong thing for far too long. On this planet, right now, mankind, we have the most powerful microscopes mankind has ever had in the history of the world. Right now on this planet, we have the most powerful telescopes mankind has ever had in the history of the world. We can see farther down and farther out than we ever have been able to in history. And we still can't see the end in either direction yet. Folks, the complexity of this creation is astounding when you think about it. No matter how minuscule you look down, or no matter how far and broad out there you look, it's incredible. And you can't see the end either way yet. It is quite astounding. The mind of God and what he was able to simply think up, speak, and there it is. And then it does what he said to do. And the sun, moon, and stars are so orderly that they adjust even the atomic clock by this stuff. I mean, it is absolutely precise. But folks, putting time or the Big Bang idea into God's word is like trying to take man's ever-changing ideas and put them into God's never-changing word. And if we're going to interpret this book based on what these say, what are we going to do when those guys change their mind tomorrow? Do you realize people adjust God's word for what those things say? Well, what if those things then are shown not to be so? What are we left with? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Folks, whatever it is, he's not going to change. Whatever he did, he told us what he did. When he did it, he told us when he did it. And why he did it, he told us why he did it. How he did it, he told us how he did it. It's all right there. It's all recorded, and he's not going to change. He's not going to lie to us. We see the faith of many in churches today being eroded away. This is a result of too few pastors realizing the importance of the doctrine of strict creationism. More cases of loss of religious faith are to be traced to the theory of evolution than to anything else. And folks, that's what I've been saying since for years. We've watched people grow up. Remember, go to our website, creationseminar.net, right on the front page, a good example of that kind of thing. Young lady writing us, help me. She can't defend what it is that she says she believes. And folks, so many people, their faith is destroyed because of the evolutionary teaching and the way it's been presented to them. It happens all the time. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, a lot of times there are Bible verses that everybody knows, and they're attached to everything considered Christian in this country. And this is a good example of that. Everybody knows this verse. Most people, 99.5% of the time, I dare say, if you ask somebody who quotes this verse, what does the verse just before it say? Most of the time, 99% of the time, they can't tell you what it says. Let's take a look at this thing for a second. Let's look at the whole thing. First of all, you can find it in John 8. It's the Lord talking. Let's read the whole quote. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now here's the deal, folks. Everybody knows this part. Everybody says this part, makes them feel spiritual and such. Like other, you know, people think we know our Bibles and such. But you ask somebody who quotes this verse, what's just prior to it, they can't tell you, usually. And you want to know why? Because of that word right there, if. You know, the only way that somebody can know the truth that's going to make them free is if they get into it. But see, folks, people don't want to do what it says to do, but they like the part that feels good and sounds good. Right. You know what we need, folks? We need to get folks to realize they need to study to show themselves approved unto God. Folks, do you realize everything's in the Bible somewhere? It's all there somewhere. It's all in there. In thy word is truth. What does God have to say on anything? That's the truth of the issue. And because of the watered-down Christianity in this country, this is a major big problem in the churches in America today. Check this out. Exodus 20, verse number 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I can guarantee you, in a crowd this size, there are people around here that are bad about this. And sometimes people think, well, wait a minute, we don't cuss and swear and all. And good, you shouldn't. But hang on a second. In addition to what most think as a prohibition of cursing or swearing, it has a primary connotation of not using it in an empty or worthless fashion. It certainly forbids profanity and false oath-taking in the Lord's name, but it also forbids frivolous usage. Yes. Now, wait a second, folks. Frivolous usage? That's going to get some folks. Hey, I thought of a few, put it on a screen, thought of about 55 more. Now think of this for a minute. Now don't get upset with me or anything, but listen, this is a serious issue. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now check this out. You listen to any country western song, you're going to hear Lordy several times over. But you know what, folks? People say that all the time. Even folks in churches, they'll even say things like that in the church house. We hear people say all the time, Lordy, it's hot out there. Folks, that's the kind of thing he's talking about. That's just slang for the Lord. You just, well, could have said a curse word, swear word there. It would have fit this just the same. I mean, people say, oh, Lord, my Lord. All kinds of different times and ways people are saying that kind of stuff. But yet you could have just, well, put a swear word there, some kind of curse word. It would fit just the same. The words don't mean what those words are at that time. Then that's frivolous usage. Be on guard for this stuff. Hey, there's nothing wrong with saying, oh my God, good Lord. There's nothing wrong with good Lord. Not a problem, good Lord. You're praying to God, want to call him a good Lord? He'd like to hear that. That's not a problem. But folks, there's something wrong with saying, good Lord, did you see that dress that Sally was wearing at Walmart? I mean, can you believe she went out in public in that thing? Folks, that is slang. That's frivolous usage. He just as well could have thrown a curse word in there. It would have fit just the same. What means the same? Folks, there's a problem here. There's nothing wrong with, oh my God. You're praying to God, want to worship him a little bit? Not a problem. But there's definitely something wrong with, oh my God, we left the beans on the stove. We're going to burn the house down. Quick, we got to get back home. Think of all the home video footage of tornadoes or something like that. How many oh my Gods do you hear on that? Along with those oh my Gods, how many curse words do you hear? Same kind of thing. You could interchange them. Folks, that's frivolous usage. Those words don't mean what they're saying at the time, what they are. It's frivolous usage. There's a problem here. Watch this. Now, let's suppose for a moment. Now, if you want to prove that, you want to prove it's frivolous usage, do this. Folks, we've done this many times. Do this. If you hear somebody say this kind of stuff, doesn't matter, oh Lord, my God, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Ask that person, even if it's a total stranger, ask them. Just stop and say, hey, what did you mean by that? What did you mean by that? And they're going to say, by what? They don't even know they said it because it's frivolous usage. It didn't mean what it said. It was just a reactionary thing, just frivolous usage. If you do it, here's how you could stop. Put your mother's name there. Okay, now think about this for a second. Let's suppose your mother's name is Margaret. All right. Now, you're at the gas pumps, if you can afford it these days. You're standing there pumping gas in your car, right? You're not doing anything. You're just standing there holding the nozzle, okay? And so anyway, a friend of yours drives up in the gas pump next to you. Now, your mother's name is Margaret. And you say, good Margaret, did you see that dress that Sally was wearing at Walmart? I mean, can you believe she went out in public and that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't fit there. Hey, think about this. You're hanging sheetrock by yourself. You're driving a nail up there and you smack your thumb. Gee, you know exactly whose name comes out at a time like that. Why do we say Jesus at a time like that? Hey, you're running late to the seminar and you're driving along and, oh my God, we left the beans on the stove. Well, instead of saying that, say, oh my Margaret, we left the beans on the stove. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to say that. Well, now here's the thing, folks. Why do we say the words that we say? Folks, it's just frivolous usage if it doesn't mean what it says at the time. What do those words mean? Don't get caught with frivolous usage type stuff because there's a lot at stake. The Lord will not hold him guiltless. Hey, why don't we say some of these other, you know, driving that nail, Dalai Lama, that hurt. Ah! We don't say that. You know there's a reason for that? We've been duped. Folks, the Dalai Lama means nothing to the devil. He's a nobody. Who's that guy wearing a sheet? Put some clothes on, for crying out loud. What's the matter with that fella? I mean, he means nothing to the devil. Buddha to the devil, he's a nobody. Confucius, give me a break, he's nothing. I mean, the Pope, oh please, he's a nobody. I mean, come on, Joseph Smith, to the devil, he's nothing. Jesus, yeah, there's a problem now all of a sudden. See, the devil even knows full well, folks, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. See, folks, the bottom line is we've been duped. We need to be on guard for this kind of stuff. Folks, the bottom line, it doesn't matter what it is. Jesus, you know, praise the Lord has become a greeting. It's like saying, hi, how are you? I mean, it's just those words, praise the Lord, mean a certain thing. If you're just saying hi to somebody, that's not what those words mean. We have people email us, 13, receive the HG. Oh, the Spirit of the Living God is nothing but the HG now. You know, I mean, it's just, make sure. Folks, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Don't be using frivolous usage when it has to do with God. Had a young lady one time, she got really upset with me. I take issue with you. Whoa, that's a little strong. What about Lord is not his name? Well, you might want to read the Bible. Several places the Bible says Lord is his name, as a matter of fact. Folks, it's a serious thing. So be on guard for stuff like that. Anyway, as we wrap it up, we're getting near the end here. My wife has a table back here. We have DVDs and CDs and books and fossils, and we try to have a book for everybody of some sort. We have all kinds of different DVDs and CDs with different sessions. We're going to get all kinds of stuff as the week progresses. The dinosaurs we'll get to later and tomorrow, the Ice Age, the pre-flood world, the cavemen, the fossils. We're going to start talking about fossils and all kinds of different information on the DVDs. We also have specialty DVDs, public school sessions in high school and elementary school and Christian schools, our testimony on the DVD. We try to have something for everybody, even little kids and older folks that are well-educated and everything in between. And fossils. You know, you can get a fossil in your own backyard, but if you don't want to get one off my wife's table for a couple of bucks. You can open the doors of conversation with a fossil sitting on your desk at work. I mean, set a fossil there. You realize, and we're going to get into this as the sessions go on, but most of the fossil beds that are laid out and all the strata layers you see around here with all the fossils laying in them, folks, that stuff was all laid out at the time of the flood. So if you
We'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.